Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Won't we give the Lord some praise?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your Lord. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, I feel good. I feel good tonight. I feel like I could run through a troop and jump over a wall. Praise the Lord. I feel good tonight. Does anybody else feel good in the Holy Ghost? Praise the Lord. I feel like I could tackle an angel tonight. Praise the Lord. Have you ever considered that? Jacob tackled an angel. Can you imagine the audacity of a man to tackle an angel? Now, my Bible says that that man is made a little lower than the angels. David said that angels excel in strength. But Jacob had the audacity to tackle an angel. He must have been feeling pretty good. Don't you know that angel could have stopped that fight anytime he wanted to? He could have crushed Jacob with his thumb if he had wanted to. But they wrestled all night. You know, defeating Jacob wasn't that angel's goal. That angel, his goal was not to return to heaven and boast of how he had defeated a mortal man. But his mission was to change Jacob. I want to be changed tonight. They wrestled all night. That angel just putting just enough pressure on Jacob so as not to crush him, not to destroy him, but to make him desire a change. Isn't that the way God works with us? God has a way of putting just enough pressure on us so as not to destroy us, but to make us desire a change. Just enough pressure to make us say, something's got to give. I gotta have some relief. Something's got to change.
Hallelujah.
Amen. They wrestled all night. And you know, sometimes I think we want a change, but we want it right now. You know, oftentimes we say, Lord, you know, take this burden off of me. Take this trial away from me. And I think sometimes God says, you know, I'm trying to build something here. You know, this trial is here to build some character, to build some strength. I think I need to leave it here just a little while longer. You know, Jacob's prayer was, Lord, take Esau out of my life, because Esau's waiting just across the river to kill him. No doubt he was saying, Lord, take Esau, remove Esau out of my life. And I think the Lord was saying, Esau's not your problem. Jacob is your problem. Jacob is your problem. Sometimes we got to recognize this is our problem. This whole thing we call flesh is our problem. And we want that change. But keep in mind, they wrestled all night. I keep saying that for the simple reason that we want change right now. We want God to do something now. I think sometimes when we're into microwaves, God's into marinating. He's saying, you know, I think this needs to simmer a little while. I think this needs to work on you a little bit longer. Finally, when the day began to break, and the angel said, I got to go. And Jacob said, not until you bless me. Well, the blessing was going to be the change. The angel said, what's your name? Now, wait a minute. Don't you know that angel knew before he ever left the portals of heaven? He knew who he was coming to wrestle with. He said, what's your name? Because the last time Jacob was asked his name, he lied about it. He said, my name is Esau. I'm the hunter. I'm the provider. Don't you know you've got to know who you are before you can change? You got to know where you're coming from before you can find out where you need to go. The angel said, what's your name? This time he said, I'm Jacob. I'm a liar. I'm a deceiver. I'm a cheater. The angel said, okay, that's what I needed to hear. From now on, your name will be Israel, because you found favor with God and man. From now on, there's going to be a change. The Bible says he walked away from there a changed man. He walked away with a limp. He walked away differently than what he came into that fight. Amen. I want to walk away from this place different tonight. I want to walk away changed tonight. I'm so tired of being stirred and not changed. I'm so tired of being moved and not changed. I'm tired of having good church services and not changing. I pray, God, give us a change tonight. God, do something way down inside of here. I need a change. If you don't, I need a change. I'm saying, God, do something down in here. You know, and the rule in the Old Testament was if you entered the temple gates, if you entered the courts from the north gate, you left by the south gate. If you entered by the south gate, you had to leave by the north gate. All they were simply trying to say is nobody leaves the way they come. Nobody leaves the way they come. Friend, you don't have to leave here the way you came. If you come with a burden, if you came with cares, if you came with troubles, if you came with sickness, if you came with problems, friend, you don't have to leave here the way you came. Hallelujah. I desire a change. Does anybody want a change? Does anybody desire a change? Let's have church tonight. What do you say? Let's have church tonight. Let's let God do something tonight. God will only do what we'll let him do. What do you say? Let God do something here tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now that was free. Let's preach. Turn with me in your Bible. 2 Chronicles 20. 2 Chronicles 20th verse. While you're turning there, let me say again what a privilege and an honor it is to stand here. And I told you this morning, especially when a pastor asked you to stand in his stead while he's gone, I so much appreciate that. I want us to give Pastor a good report. I want to give him a good report. Now, I don't want him to have a heart attack. You know, I heard a story one time about an old man that had won some kind of sweepstakes or something. He won $10 million. And his family was afraid to tell him because they were afraid he'd have a heart attack. And so they went to the pastor and they asked the pastor, said, I know you know how to use words. You know how to talk to people. Maybe you could break the news to him in such a way that he won't have a heart attack. And the pastor agreed, okay, he'd try to talk to him. So when he got the opportunity, he took the old man aside. And he said, trying to break it to him in a roundabout way, he said, brother, he said, what would you do if you won $10 million? The old man thought a minute, and he said, well, he said, first thing I'd do, I'd pay my tithes. And the pastor had a heart attack. So we don't want Brother Grisham to have a heart attack. But wouldn't it be great if it's the day after he gets home, he starts getting phone calls saying, Brother Grisham, I got the Holy Ghost. Come on, Brother Grisham, I got prayed through the other night. Pastor, I got delivered. Pastor, I got the answer I've been looking for. Pastor, I got my healing. Pastor, I got what I needed from God. Wouldn't it be great if he received half a dozen calls saying, Pastor, what a time we had in the Holy Ghost. I want to give him a good report. Chronicles, chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Let me say how good it is to have my friends, the Shipmans, here. I wanted to say, yeah, go ahead. I almost said Kelvin and the Shipmans. But that sounds like a singing group. So let me say the Shipmans and their son. It's good to have y'all here tonight. Beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon And with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there arose some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now understand, there's several different armies coming against Jehoshaphat. Verse 3 says he feared and he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast. Let's drop down to verse 15. This is speaking of Jehaziel, the prophet. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Verse 18, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Verse 20, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Let's go ahead and read verse 26. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the valley of Baraka unto this day. Let me take you back to verse 20. That's my key verse. And they arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. You may be seated. Now, I wanted to put a title to this message for the simple fact that no matter how good a service you have, the next day when someone says, how was service last night? You say, we had a great time. And they say, what did he preach about? You say, I don't know. We went to lunch today, and my own family commented on my message this morning, but all they could remember was the jokes. I'm sorry, I had to tell on them. So I wanted to put a handle on this message. And it was difficult to come up with what I wanted to call it. You know, Jehoshaphat said, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe his prophets and you shall prosper. I thought about calling it established and prospering. Does anybody want to prosper today? But it is chapter 20, verse 20. So I thought it might be good to call it 2020 vision. Because if you get that perspective, then you got 2020 vision. But when it all settled, I decided on this. Let's simply call it, don't mess up the setup in 2009. Don't mess up the setup. Jehoshaphat said, the word will establish you. And he said, listen to the prophet and it will prosper you. He's offering us here a formula. He's offering a formula that we need to take notice of. He says, the word will establish you. David said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. He said, oh, how I love thy law. The word will establish you. You know, I'm reminded of a story about an antique dealer that was shopping in one of these little junk stores. And he was looking around trying to find something of value. And he finally came upon, just looking around, he saw on the floor being used to feed the cat was a dish. And he recognized this dish as being a dish from the Ming Dynasty. Invaluable, worth untold. And so he got in his mind, he said, you know, evidently this proprietor doesn't know the value of that dish, or he wouldn't be using it for a cat dish. But he got to thinking, how can I possess that dish? Because if I offer to buy the dish, then he's going to know evidently it's worth something. He's not going to sell it. He said, I need to come up with a way to get that dish without him knowing the value of it. So he approached the proprietor and he said, you know what? He said, I saw your cat. I like that cat. Can I buy that cat from you? The guy said, oh, you don't want that old catty. That's old stray cat I picked up at the pound. You don't want that cat. Oh, no, no. I like that cat. I'll give you $100 for that cat. The guy said, well, I'm telling you, it's not worth. No, I'll pay you $100. He said, okay. If you want to, yeah, you can buy that cat for $100. So he stole him his cat for $100. After the transaction was all taken care of and the fella had the new cat owner had his cat, and act like he was turning toward the door, and he turned back almost like it was a second thought, and he said, yo, you know what? I don't have anything to feed this cat in. He said, do you mind if I take his cat dish? And the proprietor said, oh, no, no. He said, you don't understand, that dish, that's from the Ming Dynasty. The new cat owner said, well, if you know the value of the dish, why in the world are you using it for a cat dish? And the proprietor said, oh, but you don't understand. He said, I've already sold 12 cats. So I've told you that to tell you this. It's what you drink from that gives you value. It's what you partake of that gives you value. Of myself, I'm nothing. Standing on my own, I can do nothing. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am tapped into His Word. I am tapped into His strength, into His Spirit. I have found a fountain that never runs dry. Amen. I am drinking from living water that springs up into eternal life. It's what you drink from that gives you your value. How sweet are your words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. David said, Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might have substance, that I might be established. He said, the word will establish you. Yes. He went on to say, listen to the prophets, and it will prosper you. Now, I can tell you, I've had money, and I've been without money, and having it was better. Listen to the prophets, and it will profit you. You will prosper. I am reminded of the ships of old, the old Spanish galleons, how they used to have a long arm that extended off the front of these ships, and it was called the pulpit. And somebody would ride out on that pulpit, and they would be the ones that would help to guide the ship through treacherous waters. They were out there on the end of that pulpit in order to warn the ship of shallow water that might be just up ahead, sandbars that might be up ahead, or rocks, anything, any dangers that might lie just under the surface of the water that could destroy that ship. They were what they called riding the pulpit. Isn't it ironic that God has given you a man to do just that very thing? God has given you a man to ride the pulpit. He's given you a man who is not afraid to tell you when you're wading in waters too shallow to maneuver. God has given you a man that's not ashamed to tell you when there are obstacles in your way. He's not embarrassed to let you know of the traps and the pitfalls that lie just below the surface of the water that could wreck your walk with God and destroy the ship of Zion. Thank God. Thank God for a man who will ride the pulpit. Jehoshaphat said, listen to the prophet and it will prosper you. You know, it's a formula that he's giving us here. It's a formula not to be taken lightly. Someone once said, you know, once upon a time we thought it was impossible to go to the moon. Impossible to land on the moon. Someone once said it like this. They said, landing a man on the moon 238,846 miles away is equivalent to shooting a mosquito with a .22 rifle from a mile away. That's how impossible it was to land on the moon. But one day, someone put a formula to it. One day, somebody figured it out, and they put a formula to it. Now it can be done and has been done. Just stick to the formula. Stick to the formula, and it can be done. Do you want to be established? Do you want to prosper? Simply stick to the formula. Okay, you ask, what does all this have to do with the title being set up? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm getting there. It is my opinion that the devil gets blamed for just a lot of things that he's not fully responsible for. I'm not trying to take up for him. I just believe that he gets credit for a lot of things that are just not totally of his doing. My Bible says all power is given from above. The devil has no power that was not given to him from above. Now granted, if you're not living for God, if there's sin in your life, then sin separates from God. So if you've allowed yourself to be separated from God by sin, then yes, the devil has been given power over you. But to a child of God, the devil has no power over you. Now that's not to say that he won't attack you. In fact, the anointing attracts attacks. I like that. That's my profound statement. Let me say it again. The anointing attracts attacks. Okay? You know, the devil's not going to bother the man sitting on the bar stool. He's already got him wrapped up like a Christmas present. He's got a bow on his head. He belongs to him. He's not after him so much. But to a child of God, the closer you get to God, the more he wants to attack you. The only difference is he has to ask permission. The devil cannot attack a child of God at will. He has to ask permission. Okay, now you ask, well, why would God allow the devil to attack one of his? Well, I'm glad you asked that. Let me explain it like this. Trials are not sent to destroy us. Trials are not sent to tear us down. Trials are sent to build us up. Trials are sent to us to build our faith, to make us strong. You know, it was once said that cowboys were said to break horses. Well, that's actually incorrect terminology. Cowboys train horses without breaking them. The last thing they wanted to do was to break that horse's spirit. They didn't want to break the horse's spirit. They wanted to harness that spirit to redirect all that energy to something useful. That's what God wants to do with us. God doesn't desire to break our spirit. God wants to rechannel our efforts. Amen? God wants to send trials our way, not to break us, but to train us, to train our will to his will. He said he would never put more on us than what we could bear. He knows your limitations. He knows better than you do what your limitations are. Have you ever gone through a trial and then looked back and said, man, I don't know how in the world I made it through that? I'll tell you how you made it through it. Because God knows better than you do what you can do. God knows better than we do what our limitations are. And he said he won't put more on us than what we can bear. The closer we are to God, the more opportunities he gives us to give the devil a black eye. So the next time that your car won't start, your washing machine breaks down, your plumbing backs up, your friends disappoint you, everything goes wrong, you have a choice. You can crawl into a corner and have a pity party, or you can stand up, square your shoulders back, and proclaim, this is just a setup. God is setting me up. God is setting me up for a miracle. Because do you realize that the miracle cannot happen until the setup is accomplished? God has to set you up for the miracle. Just too many times we bail out on God. Too many times we give up in the middle of a trial. Too many times we turn our back on it and walk away when God said, wait a minute, this is just a setup. I'm building it. If you, look at it like this. If you were with God, if you were walking with God when you walked into this trial, then God knows where you're at. God knows exactly where you're standing. And it's just a setup. Next time you're in a trial, look at it like God is setting me up. God is setting me up for a miracle. The windows of heaven are going to open just any time now. And my miracle is right around the corner because God is setting me up. All of this wouldn't be happening if God wasn't setting me up for something great. God is setting me up. It's up to you how you handle the setup. I'm simply saying don't mess up the setup in 2009. Amen. Amen. It was a busy day in heaven, and the devil came poking around, and the Lord asked him, he said, have you considered my servant Job? He's a righteous man. He loves me, and he hates evil. Oh, the devil said, yeah, but you've got a hedge around Job. I can't get to him. The devil said, you let me have half a day with that rascal, and I'll have him cursing you to your face. He said, you know, Job only serves you for the loaves and the fishes and the blessings that you send. But you let me at him, and he'll turn on you in a minute. So hear me now. Job had not failed God. God was not mad at Job. But God told the devil, okay, you're on. Just don't touch him personally. So the next morning, Job steps out on his front porch, and a servant comes running up to him with message of great sadness. He says, I was with the oxen, and the Sabines came and slew all the servants and stole all the oxen, and only I escaped. And no sooner did he get through saying that than another servant rushed up and said, I was with the sheep, and the fire of God fell and burned up everything. And I was the only one that escaped. As soon as he got through, another servant rushed up and said, I was with the camels, and the Chaldeans came and slew all the servants and stole all the camel, and I'm the only one that was able to get away. And no sooner did he get through than another servant came dragging his feet through the dust to the front porch, and he said, Master, I was in the eldest son's house, and all your children were there, and a whirlwind came in from the wilderness and blew the house down, and all the children are dead. Get a picture of what just happened now. In a moment's time, Job, who had done his best, Job, who had not failed God, watched everything he had Everything he had worked for, everything he loved in life was snuffed out in a moment's time. All the angels in heaven were now leaning over heaven's balcony. The devil was peeking through that last bit of hedge that was left about Job. They were all watching, waiting to see, what will Job do now? What are you going to do now, Job? What about it? You've been living for God. You've been doing what's right. You've been serving God. You've been living right. Now you've been slammed in the face with this. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Job knelt down at that porch rail with tears streaming down his face. And he said, "Naked came I into this world. Naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." And this had to be the hardest part. "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. None of us have been through a trial like that. None of us have suffered something like that. Would we be able to pray such a prayer? "Blessed be the name." When he takes everything I've got, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job was saying, "I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand the setup. I don't understand what's taking place. But this much I do know. I love you. And I'll not leave you." Job said, "I know enough to know that if I leave myself in your hands, in the end, everything's going to be all right." A few days later, the devil shows back up in heaven. And the Lord says, "What about Job?" The devil said, "Oh, flesh for flesh." He said, "But you let me touch him. You let me touch his body. And then he'll curse you to your face. Just take down the rest of the hedge and let me at him. And then I'll show you what I can do." Again, God is not mad at Job. Job had not failed God. But the next morning, he woke up with huge, painful boils all over his body. Covered in boils, covered in pain and agony, excruciating pain. He couldn't even stand the weight of the clothes against his skin. Bible says he took his clothes off and he sat in a pile of ashes. And he used broken pottery to scrape the boils off his body. He was in agony. He couldn't stand the pain. It's no wonder that his wife came out the next day. And, you know, let's not judge her too harshly. She had already lost her children. All of her children. And now the last thing she loved on earth was writhing in pain in front of her. She says, "Husband, why don't you just give up? Why sit here in this pain? Why endure this? Why don't you just curse God and die?" He says, "Honey, you're just not making a whole lot of sense." He said, "God has given us a lot of good things. Cannot we tough it out when things are not so good?" He said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Can we pray that prayer? "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." He was saying, "I don't understand. I don't understand the setup, Lord. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future." He said, "I don't understand the setup, but I'm not going to mess it up. I won't give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel in the middle of it. I'm going to hold on. I won't mess up the setup." I think the greatest trial must have been when his friends showed up. The Bible says his friends sat there for 7 days and said nothing. Now, that would have drove me up the wall. You sit there, I'd be saying, "Say something or get out." Sit there and stared at him for 7 days. And then when they finally did say something, They accused him of everything in the book. They said, you've sinned. You've let God down. You've bound to have done something wrong. You might as well just give up. One of them went as far as to say, what good has all this done you? What good has being righteous? What good is serving God and doing right? What good has all this done you? Job answered, I'll tell you what good it has done me. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. He said, I know in this life is but a little while. But in the end, in my flesh, I shall see God. That's what good it's done me. In the end, it's all going to work out to my benefit. In the end, it's all going to be all right because I know God has just set me up. It's all going to be all right. But in all this, he did not charge God foolishly. The Bible says he did not sin with his mouth. But the Bible tells it like it is. And he did finally get to the end of his rope. The Bible says he cursed the day he was born. In other words, he wished he wasn't even born. He wished he'd never even been born. He said, he even got angry with God. He said, I want to know what's going on. He said, I want to know what the setup is. He says, I've served you. I've pleased you. I've done what's right. Please, I want my day in court. At that point, God stepped on a whirlwind and came down to where Job was. And God said, I've got a few questions for you. He said, I am God. Where were you when I framed the earth? Where were you when I flung the stars into the heavens? What right do you have to question my will? But I love you, so I'll give you your chance. What is it you want to say? Job said, I'm going to cover my mouth. He said, I've said too much already. He said, but just before I do, he said, I've got one thing I want to say. I love you. He was saying, do what you want to do. Go where you want to go. Set my life up any way that you want to set me up. Just know that when you look behind you, when you look over your shoulder, old Job is going to be there. Because I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I may not understand what's going on. I may not understand how you're setting me up. I may not have all the answers. But this one thing I do know. I'll not give up. I'll not give in. I'll not mess up the setup. Job saying, I'm going to hold on and see what God has in store in the end. I think about the Israelites when they came to the Red Sea with the Egyptian army right behind them and the Red Sea ahead of them. They had nowhere to go. They were trapped. I wonder, is someone in this place tonight? Maybe you're standing on the shores of a Red Sea in your life. Do you feel the enemy closing in behind? You find yourself between a rock and a hard place. Nothing but turbulent waters up ahead. I want to challenge somebody here tonight. When you're standing at a Red Sea in your life, get ready to walk. Get ready to walk. Look beyond the dead end. See past your problems. Know that God has set you up for just such a miracle. Know that when you're at the Red Sea, God is going to make a way. You're going to walk over your problems. This is not the end. You're going to cross over the turbulent waters. It's just a setup. Somebody get the point this morning. It's just a setup. Don't mess up the setup that God has sent your way because the miracle is on the other side of the setup. Hallelujah. Somebody help me love him. Somebody help me praise him. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you ever been to a place where you felt like your prayers just bounced off the walls? Have you ever felt like you were all walled in You couldn't get out. Others couldn't get in. Your prayers couldn't get out. God's answers couldn't get in. You couldn't find the liberty that you needed. You couldn't find the deliverance that you needed. You couldn't feel the Spirit of God like you wanted to. You couldn't feel God's liberty like you used to. How many times have you prayed, oh God, I want to feel you like I used to? How many times have you said, God, let me feel your Spirit like I used to? Have you feel that way? Have you ever felt like you're walled in? If so, let me tell somebody, get ready to shout. Hallelujah. Get ready to shout. Shout down the walls of Jericho. Shout down the walls of oppression. Shout down the walls of despair. Shout down the walls of doubt. It's just a setup. It's just a setup. God has primed you for a miracle. It's your time for a miracle. Hallelujah. It's your time for a miracle. God has set you up for a miracle. Young people, young marriage, when you're trying to live for God, but you find obstacles in your way, giant hurdles that you don't know how to get around, know that when there's giants in your path, get ready to rock. Hallelujah. Get ready to rock the devil back on his heels. Know that when there's giants in your path, it's time to get ready to do something for God. Rock the Goliaths out of your way. God has got great things in store for you. When there's a setup in your path, don't turn back from it, but go through it, because God has got something in store for you. What you see as impossible giants, God sees as a simple setup. He set you up to rock your city. He set you up to rock your community. He set you up to rock your world. It's just a setup. The miracle is just around the corner. I don't know what it is about trouble that seems to bring out the best in us. I used to have a cup holder. Thank you for the water. I used to have a cup holder that said, I'm high on stress. And somebody must have stressed out and stole it. I haven't seen it in a while. I seem to do my best work under stress. If I have 2 weeks to do a job, it'll take me 2 weeks. If I have 1 day to do the same job, it'll take me 1 day. I seem to work well under stress. We seem to do our best when we're under pressure. You know, I like iced tea. There's nothing better than a big cold glass, ice cold sweet tea. Southern made sweet tea. You can't get it up north. The Yankees don't know what it is. They bring you hot tea. Sweet tea, ice cold glass of sweet tea. There's nothing beats it. But you know, I guess, Brother James, I guess when you're in a hurry, if you don't have time, it's tea. I guess you just take the tea bag and throw it in your mouth and chew it up. It's the same thing. That's called something else. I don't know what it is about hot water that seems to bring out the best in a tea bag. And I don't know what it is about hot water that seems to bring the best out in people. Some people never turn to God until the trouble arises. But when trouble comes their way, they're quick to look toward God. And rightfully so, because Jehoshaphat said, follow the formula. Believe the Lord. Believe the prophets. What did the Lord say? That his prophets have continued to repeat over the years. Solomon said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Hallelujah. You have a problem that you'd like to hide from. You have a need that you need reprieve from your troubles. He said, I'm bigger than your problems. Someone says, oh, Brother Latimer, you don't know how big my problems are. No, and you don't know how big my God is. He said, I'm a strong tower. Run unto me and you're safe. He said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. David said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I don't know what you might be going through tonight. I don't know what you might be up against right now. But I can tell you this. It's not meant for your demise. It's not meant for your destruction. He said he would never suffer the righteous to be moved. I'm telling somebody today, it's just a setup. God has set you up for a miracle. Hallelujah. It's time to walk over your troubles. It's time to shout down the walls that have you captive. It's time to defeat the giants in your life. It's time to claim your miracle. Jehoshaphat's army was outmanned on every corner. There was no way. Every enemy, no demand, was coming against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat did not have the manpower. He did not have the might to go up against such an enemy. But he knew how he stood with God. That's an important point. When you're going through a trial, when you're going through a hardship and you don't understand what's going on, first thing you need to do is check where your walk was when you got in this mess. If you were standing with God when you got into it, then God's on your side. If you were not standing with God when you got in trouble, the first thing you need to do is get on God's side. You can't fight the battle on your own. And if you want God to fight it with you, you got to get on God's side. So the first thing to do is to know where you were standing when all this started. Jehoshaphat knew he was in good standing with God when he got this notice that all the armies of the world were going to come against him. He knew he was on God's side to begin with. Therefore, he recognized that this had to be a setup. And he refused to mess up the setup. In verse 3, you notice he prayed and fasted. My Bible says something come only by prayer and fasting. In verse 15, he stopped and he listened to the prophet. And the prophet said, the battle is not yours, it's God's. Friend, if you're on God's side and you realize you're in the middle of a battle, then you've got to realize that it's not your battle. It's God's battle. Right. Let God fight the battle. Verse 18, he worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. Are you in a trial? Are you in a hardship? Worship the Lord. Just worship the Lord. Worship can never be overemphasized. Worship the Lord. Verse 20, he spoke only of victory. He exercised his faith. Verse 22, he sang and praised his way out of trouble. Hallelujah. Not only did Jehoshaphat do this, but in the New Testament we find Paul and Silas singing and praising their way out of a prison cell. Elvis Presley just thought he was the one that wrote Jailhouse Rock. Paul and Silas was doing that 2,000 years ago. They praised and worshiped their way out. The devil thought he had them all locked up. The devil thought he had them right where he wanted them. But you know what? It was just a setup. It was only a setup. God has set them up. They praised their way out of trouble. They praised their way to victory. Is anybody catching on to a pattern here? To a formula? They praised their way. They worshiped their way to victory. Hallelujah. It was just a setup. Verse 25, when they got to the enemy's camp, all they found was the spoils of the battle. God had already fought the battle. You see, Jehoshaphat, it was just a setup. There was no war to be fought. There was no battle to be had. It was all a setup. God had already won the battle. You just didn't know it yet. It was all just a setup. God has set you up. Whatever you're going through, friend, it's just a setup. God has your reward already waiting for you at the end. God has got your reward waiting. Verse 26, they found themselves in the valley of Baraka. Baraka means a place of praise and blessings. Now, note that they were still in the valley. They were not carried to the mountaintop. At this time, things still looked dark and bleak. They didn't know the victory had been won, but they kept praising God and giving God the glory until they found that their battle, that their valley had been changed from a valley of fear and defeat to a valley of praise and blessing. If you're facing difficulties in your life, if you're facing troubles in your life, get ready. It's just a setup. Hallelujah. The musicians have come. If you're facing something in your life that maybe you don't understand, if you're facing hardships and trials, know that it's just a setup. God is going to bless you in your valley until your valley becomes a valley of Baraka. Get ready. Get ready. I said get ready. Your valley is about to become a valley of praise and blessing. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready for a miracle? Ready as I can be. Are you ready for a miracle? The song says the Spirit will set you free. Hallelujah. Won't you stand with me? Hallelujah. I tell you what I'd like us to do. I'd like us all to come around the front. As many as it will, would you be quick. Come on to the front. Let's all come around the front. I tell you what I'd like to do. My Bible says if two of you agree on earth, agree upon any one thing, that all you have to do is ask, and that shall be done. I wish everybody would partner up with somebody. Reach over and take your neighbor by the hand, or lay your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. What I want you to do is pray for your neighbor. We pray for ourselves all the time. Let's take a moment and pray for our neighbor. You don't know what your neighbor might be going through right now. We were talking about that today. How that regardless of what your trouble is, you can always find somebody that's in worse shape than you are. You don't know what your neighbor's up against right now. I wish you'd pray right now that your neighbor would find their way to the valley of Baraka. Pray that your neighbor would recognize that God has set them up for a miracle. A miracle is right around the corner. You can find your miracle here tonight. God's got something in store for you tonight. Tonight might be the chance that you need to break through to your miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.